to the Lord for a few moments of prayer together. We want to continue to pray for Ashley. Good to see Ashley with us today. Ashley's been having some abdominal pains, and the doctors were thinking that maybe a stone, and we want to continue to pray for that. I haven't heard any news on the Moylans in Australia, although I did see the little one was on a bicycle with her sisters the other day, so apparently she's doing much better. We'll just praise the Lord for that. And also we want to be praying about some other issues where the government's concerned. But let's go to the Lord for a moment of prayer. Then we'll get into the Word together. Father, it is such a great privilege that you have given to me to be able to share the Word of the Lord with the people that come to this little church on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. And I'm grateful, God, that you've chosen to use me in this way, and quite frankly, very much amazed. I just pray that today, Lord, that your anointing would be here and you would speak through me the message that you want our church family to hear that will encourage us to walk more faithfully for you. Father, I thank you that we also have the privilege of coming before you in intercessory prayer. God, your word says that your door is open to us. In fact, Lord, the word says that you invite us to come boldly before your throne and to make intercession and request of the needs for our own life and for those that we love. And Lord, you promise when we pray according to your will that you're going to hear our prayers and answer those prayers. And we believe that you're a good and faithful God, and we trust you today, Lord, to answer the prayers as we lift them to you. We thank you, Father, for Ashley and that she is feeling a little better today. And we pray you would continue a work of healing in her body. And Lord, you know what the issue is. Whatever it is, God, just heal Ashley and make her whole. We thank you for Bethany's recovery. We thank you that she is clearly doing better. We pray you continue to bring healing to Bethany Moylan, Lord, and make her well. Father, this morning as we come to you in prayer, we lift our nation to you. And we're about to head into another election season. And Father, we desire for your will to be done. We pray for our nation. We pray for our current president today, Father. We pray for your hand of guidance and wisdom to be upon him. Your hand of blessing and protection to be over he and his family. Lord, that you would help him to lead this nation in a godly way. We pray for our Congress, our Supreme Court, all of those in authority over us as your word tells us to do. And pray for the wisdom and blessing of the Lord on each one. I would pray for those in our government today, Lord, that don't know you. I would lift them to you today, Father, for revelation of who the Son of God really is. And I pray for those who do know you, that they will be the light that they are called to be and witnesses for Jesus in the arena in which they live and work, that those who don't know you would see Jesus in them. And Father, as our Supreme Court prepares to debate the whole issue of same-sex marriage, Lord, we know clearly what your word says about that issue. We know as the church, Father, you've called us to stand for righteousness. God, help us to do it in a spirit of love. But help us to do it in a spirit of uncompromising boldness. We pray, Father, for our Supreme Court, that they too would have wisdom from on high, that they would make choices that are godly and that would lead this nation back to the righteous path upon which she was established. So that when their ruling comes down in another month or so, the way of righteousness and the way of the Lord will be declared and praised and glorified. Thank you, Father. Now, Father, open the eyes of our understanding, open our hearts to receive the word of the Lord implanted that is able to save our souls, transform our lives, that we might live and walk in a realm of victory, heretofore not seen in our lives as your children. We expect it to happen. We give you praise for it because we know that you are able. And we believe and count it as done in Jesus' mighty and precious name. Amen and amen. Open your Bibles with me to the Gospel of Matthew, and we'll use the same text we did last week as a foundational text to have our Bible study today. Our topic, we looked at it last week and will for maybe at least one more week. We're talking about authentic Christianity. Revealing to the world authentic Christianity, what real, genuine Christianity looks like, so that the world will know who it is that we believe in, trust, and love, who we follow, and who is ultimately the Savior of the world. The Gospel of Matthew and chapter 5, this is Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, and from verses 13 through 16, Matthew 5, verse 13, Jesus is teaching and he says, "You are the salt of the earth. If the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. It gives light to all who are in the house." And then he gives these instructions to us as believers. He says, "Let your light so shine. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Now, we started last week to share with you the important message of authentic Christianity. And we started by sharing with you how God has called us as followers of Jesus Christ to be a people of influence in our world today. That's why we're here. We're here to influence this world for the Lord Jesus Christ, for the ways of God, for the glory of Jesus and the kingdom of God. We need to understand that as believers, that's our ultimate purpose. We live out of our relationship and we live for the purpose of glorifying Jesus Christ. It's so easy for us to get wrapped up in our day-to-day activities and our day-to-day jobs and those kinds of things to the place where we begin to see those things as an end to themselves. We get up, we go to work, we come home, we have our dinner, we go to bed, and we get up the next day to do it all over again. And we can kind of get into a routine of thinking that this is what life is all about. In fact, a lot of people think that. A lot of people in the world will step back and look and say, "What is the meaning of all this? Why are we doing this? Why are we here? What is our purpose? Is this all there is? Get up, go to work, come home, go to bed, so you can do it again tomorrow? Is that what life is all about?" And the answer you and I know to be is absolutely not. These things are just a means to an end. The end and the ultimate purpose of our lives as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ is that wherever we go in the world, whether it's to school, whether it's to work, whether it's just on vacation even, believe it or not. How many of you understand you don't take a vacation from Christianity? I hope you don't. You don't take a vacation from Christianity or being a follower of Jesus. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, you are, by the life that you live, you are a witness. And your life is a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we talked about last week how we live in such a messed up world and all the chaos and the calamity and the things that are going on in the world all around us and all around the world, and how the world is at a place of almost desperation of looking for answers and trying to figure this thing out. And you and I have the answer. We know the answer. His name is Jesus. And we have the answer that the world needs to see. And Jesus is the only one who can turn sorrow to joy, despair to hope, mourning into dancing, as the scripture says, death into life. He's the answer for all of these things. But in order for the world to see Jesus, in order for them to recognize the Son of God, they need to see Jesus in us. Jesus has left us here for that very purpose, that he might live his life through us so that when others look at us, they see him. And so we are here to be an influence on the world that's around us by walking in the Lord and demonstrating his life for the world to see. But we need to be revealing the authentic Jesus by living an authentic Christianity. And not the Christianity that is so often in the media today, or the Christianity that unfortunately is a lot of what's on television. Now again, as I shared last week, there's a lot of good stuff on television. Don't misunderstand me. But there's a lot of stuff on television in the name of Jesus that, quite frankly, is embarrassing. It's hucksterism. You know, and it's materialism. An awful lot of things are that way. Or on the other side, in the news media, there's the image that's portrayed of the, by the news media, that we're all just a bunch of hypocrites and self-righteous bigots and all of these kind of things, haters, you know, of anything that we don't understand or anybody that's different from us. And we need to be willing and able to stand firm and stand true to the true call and nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to show the world an authentic Christianity so that they can come to know the real Jesus and find their salvation in Him. No more fakes, no more imitations, no more knockoffs, but genuine Christianity. Our life belongs to the Lord, the Bible tells us. We read the scripture from Corinthians last week that tells us that our lives have been bought with a price and we are not our own. We belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a verse in Colossians that I love this. If you'll take just a real quick peek at Colossians chapter 3 with me in your New Testament. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. It's where you'll find that in Colossians chapter 3. And the Apostle Paul in this chapter is encouraging the believers in this community to keep their eyes on Jesus and to follow after the Lord by doing that. How many of you know that we tend to go where we're looking? You know that? That's just kind of a part of human nature. It's a part of who we are as people. We go where we're looking. It's why you need to keep your eyes on the straight and narrow. It's why you need to keep your eyes on the road when you're driving a car. If you're driving down the road in your car and you get fixated on something that's outside the window there, there's a pretty good chance you're going to wind up going right in that direction. We tend to go where we're looking. That's why we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. And then we're comfortable going where we're looking because we're going to the Lord. And Paul is encouraging these believers to keep their eyes on the Lord. He says in verse 2, set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You've become one with Jesus now and you're living for Him. And then I love the first part of verse 4. It simply says this, when Christ, who is our life. Think about that. Just meditate on that for just a second. When Christ, who is our life, not a part of our life, not the Sunday mornings of our life, but all of our life. Our life is to be all wrapped up in Jesus. He is our life, and our life is supposed to be all about Him and living for Him and living for His glory. Jesus is Lord. He owns us. And Christianity, as we said last week, Christianity, listen, it's not weekly worship. Christianity is daily devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to return to the simplicity, Paul says in 2 Corinthians, to the simplicity of a life that's devoted to Jesus. And live for the glory of the Son of God every day. A daily dying, if you will, to selfishness. A surrender of our life to the Lord. And please hear this. A surrender of our lives to the Lord, not because we have to, but because we want to. We've got a revelation of the love of God. We've seen the wonder and the awe and the splendor and the majesty of Jesus and who He is and how much He loves us and what He wants to do and how He wants to take care of us. And then we look at our life and we see the mess we made out of it and we realize, you know what? Jesus can do a better job with my life than I can. I'm way better off to give it to Him and let Him do with it what He will. You know, in the Old Testament, they had this system of servitude known as a bond servant. In the Old Testament, sometimes if you needed something, if you didn't have cash to pay for it, you could sell yourself to a person. You can become a servant to a person and work off your debt by serving that person. And often that was done in Israel. But they also had a law that they realized this, that servants and slaves would sometimes realize that the person that they were serving, the person that they were living under, was actually a very kind and very generous and very loving person, and was taking good care of them. And the slaves sometimes would look at their own life and say, you know what? If I try to go it my own way, it's going to be tough. It's going to be hard. And I may not make it. Where I am now, I have a good master who's taking care of me. And according to the law in the Old Testament, they could willingly sell themselves into servitude to their master and become his responsibility for him to take care of you. And isn't that really what we're supposed to be doing where Jesus is concerned? We look at our lives and we say, man, I know he can do better than this. I've made a mess of it. And Jesus can do so much better, and he loves me so much, and he wants to take care of me. And if I just give my life to Jesus, Jesus will take good care of my life and give me eternal life. And this is what we're supposed to do. This is what it means to make Jesus Lord of your life. It's not forced labor. It's not forced enslavement. It's willing surrender of our lives to Jesus so that he is Lord of our lives. This is authentic Christianity. Authentic Christianity loves God and desires to be in constant and continuous communion with the Creator. Christianity, authentic Christianity realizes, as we've already shared this morning, this is the ultimate purpose of our life, is to live. You are created for union with God. Do you realize that today? God created you for union with Him and to spend eternity with Him. And again, we won't find peace and fulfillment in life until we come to the recognition of that truth. I read for you 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 6 last week that tells us that we have been made by God and we have been made for God. And when we get a real revelation of how much He loves us, it will become the desire of our heart to surrender to Him and to pursue Him and to follow after Him. Let me read some scripture for you from the Psalms. If you look at Psalm 16... let me read with you several passages. I got three passages from the book of Psalms that I want to read to you that are written by a man whom the Bible says was a man after God's own heart. A man who loved God, a man who pursued God with his heart and with his life. Because of the love that he had received and seen in God and experienced in his own life, it was the desire of his heart just to chase after God and pursue the Lord with all of his heart. In Psalm 16... this is David, the great king of Israel. Psalm 16 and verse 5. Let's start in verse 5. David writes and he says, "The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You support my lot. The lions have fallen to me in pleasant places. Indeed, my heritage is beautiful to me." Now, let me just unravel what David is saying in that little portion today, okay? David is saying, God, I have received the greatest of all inheritances. Okay? Most of us would like to inherit a lot of money, a lot of material possessions. You know, don't you hope that somewhere out there you have a wealthy relative that, and when they die, your name is at the top of the list of the thank you, the will. Thank you, Nate. We appreciate your help this morning. Don't you hope your name is at the top of the will to receive a large part of the inheritance? And most of us think that way. We think naturally. We think carnally. But David is thinking spiritually, and he says, God, I have received the greatest of all inheritances. I have received you. Isn't that awesome? He sees God as greater than anything else in the world and knows that his relationship with God is going to mean he's going to have everything. That's why he would write in Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. I shall not want. I've got God. I've got everything." Do you realize today, guys, that when you have God in your life, you've got everything you need? True prosperity, brother and sister, is not measured in dollars and cents. It's measured in your relationship with Jesus. It's measured in the depths of your faith. Because when you've got faith in Jesus, everything else you need is going to find its way into your life. When you get your priorities in order and Jesus is number one and you're trusting Him and living for Him, everything else you need is going to find its way into your heart, into your life. And so he says in verse 7, I will bless the Lord who has counseled me. Indeed, my mind instructs me in the night. I have set the Lord continually before me. I love to stay in His presence, David says. Because He is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh will dwell securely. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to undergo decay. You will make known to me the path of life. You'll show me the right way to live. In your presence is fullness of joy. Just being with you, God, makes my heart overflow with the joy of life. And in your right hand, there are pleasures forever. Everything that I need, God, is yours to give to me as you will. And so this is David's inheritance, and he loves the presence of the Lord. Look over at Psalm 27. And we'll just read verses 4 through 8 in Psalm 27. Again, the Psalm of David. David writes and he says, one thing I have asked from the Lord. This is it. This is the one thing that he asks of God. One thing I have asked from the Lord, that I shall seek, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in His temple. The only thing I'm asking of you, God, is that I can spend forever with you, that I can have fellowship with you. For in the day of trouble, He will conceal me in His tabernacle. In the secret place of His tent, He will hide me. He will lift me up on a rock. And now my head will be lifted up above my enemies around me, and I will offer in His tent sacrifices. With shouts of joy, I will sing. Yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, and be gracious to me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, O Lord, I shall seek. The one thing I desire is to be with you forever. The desire of my heart and life is to pursue you and spend forever with you. One more real quick, if I could, from David in Psalm 63. O God, verse 1, O God, you are my God. I shall seek you earnestly. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you. In a dry and weary land where there is no water. Thus I have seen you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life itself, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul is satisfied as with marrow and fatness. My mouth offers praises and joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. God, I'm just going to be in your presence and give you praise, because when I'm in your presence, I'm going to be protected. I'm going to have everything I need. My heart's going to overflow with joy, and that's all I need, God. And I'm going to spend eternity. David was a man after God's own heart. He loved God. And he found the joy and the peace of the Lord out of his relationship with the Lord. He desired to be with God. Authentic Christianity, brother and sister, desires to be in the presence of God continually. Jesus taught this in John chapter 15. He said, abide in me and I will abide in you. In James, the Bible tells us that if we'll draw near to the Lord will draw near to us. In the scriptures, the church is likened to the bride of Christ. How much more is there? Could there be a desire to be with somebody than the bride is wanting to be with the bridegroom? So it is for the church today. One of Paul's favorite phrases in his epistles is the phrase, in Christ. In Christ. And it speaks of our union with Jesus and being one with Him continually. I like the story that Jim read this morning. How many of you guys, any of you guys watching the Sunday night A Bible Story, A.D., I think is the name of it. I've been watching that. I wasn't going to watch it. I watched their first movie, and when they got to the fighting ninja angels, I just quit watching it after that. But I've been watching the first two of this new series, and frankly, I think it's pretty decent. It's fairly accurate to the Bible, from the best I can tell. There are a few things here and there, but after all, it's Hollywood. Now, how close are they going to get to the truth, right? But anyway, it's been pretty good. But one of the stories that they had this past week was the very passage Jim shared this morning about Peter and the disciples in the boat and the fishing, and when John recognizes that it's Jesus calling from the shore, that's all Peter needs to know. Peter at that point doesn't care about anything else. He doesn't care about the boat. He doesn't care about the disciples. He doesn't care about the fish. All he cares about, all he knows, Jesus is over there and I'm going to get to Jesus. And my translation says he throws himself into the water and begins to swim ashore to get to Jesus. Peter just wanted to be in the presence of the Lord. He wanted to be with Jesus, so much so he just jumped out of the boat. All those that had encounters with God in the Bible, they just wanted to be with Jesus. You read the stories of people like Bartimaeus, how Jesus healed him of his blindness, and the Bible says that he followed Jesus down the road. We looked at one Wednesday night, the Gadarene demoniac, and how Jesus delivered this man from thousands of demons, and he wanted to follow Jesus, just wanted to go with the Lord, just wanted to be in the presence of the Lord, just wanted to have an encounter with God. Any of you, do you remember your first encounter with God? Do you remember I can remember my first encounter with God. It was when I was a child. It was years before I actually got saved. When I look back at my life, I can see how God has orchestrated things over the years of my life to bring me to himself. I look in my life and I can see the encounters that God has ordained and set me up for, and the people that have come across my path to bring me to a relationship with him. My first encounter with God, and I would never put it in those terms when it happened, because I was just a child. I was only about 8 or 10 years old. And this is a bad confession for a preacher, but I didn't like to go to church. I really didn't. I just thought Sunday should be another play day, you know. Saturday and Sunday were weekends. That's what they were for. And besides that, in our home, now you have to remember, I was raised in church. We always went to church. Every Sunday we were in church. Every time the doors are open, we were in church. Fellowship dinners, revival services, Sunday morning worship, all of it, we were in church. And, you know, back in the day, we had to wear a tie. Maybe that's why I didn't like about it. Because most of you know that I still don't like to wear a tie. Although, I have to admit, when I put on a tie and a coat, I look really good. But I don't like that thing up around my neck, you know. And so I remember as a child, I remember telling my father, and the family's getting ready for church on Sunday morning. I remember telling my father, "Dad, I don't want to go to church. I don't like it." And my father, when I look back at my dad, I can see the wisdom of the Lord and the way that God did things through my dad. That astounds me. Instead of arguing with me and demanding that I go to church that Sunday morning, he said, "All right, you don't have to go today." The rest of the family got dressed, and they went out the door, and they all went to church together. And as they were going out the door, Dad came back in the house, and he said, "I'm letting you stay home today." And he picked a Bible up off the end table, and he handed it to me, and he said, "You can stay home, but I want you to read a little bit of this book." And he gave me a Bible and left, and that's all he did. And I'm just a kid. I'm 8 or 10 years old or whatever. I'm just a kid. Back in those days, you left kids at home. For a lot of reasons, but I'm not going into that. And he left. And I opened the Bible. And I began to read those words. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And I don't know how much, if I read even more than a chapter out of the Bible that day. And again, I was just a child. I had no idea what was happening or anything like that. Looking back on it now, I know that I had an encounter with God. Because just in reading that Bible for myself as a child, I had a knowledge in my heart that God was real. And this is His book. And because God is real, everything's going to be okay. And just the peace of God, which I wouldn't have put it in those terms as a child, but I know that I had that, and I had that encounter with God. It was years later before I finally came to the Lord and made my decision to really surrender my life to Christ. But God wants us to experience Him in those kinds of ways. The third thing I want to share with you today is that true and authentic Christianity should be experiential, not just theoretical. In fact, if your version of Christianity is just a theory to you, it's very likely that all you've got is a religion and not a relationship. And you need to take a real hard, long look at what you're calling your faith. Well, we need to surrender our lives to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And when we love the Lord, and when we surrender, and when we pursue Him, I promise you we will have experiences with the Lord. Now, what do I mean by experiences with the Lord? Do I mean miracles are going to be happening all around you all the time and you're just this wonder child? And no, probably not, to be honest with you. Probably not. But you will have experiences with the Lord. Experiences like the one that I shared, that I had when I was a child. Experiences such as finding strength to go through a situation that you didn't think you would be able to endure. Or revelatory wisdom to answer problems that are going on in your life. Or just that calm assurance that everything is somehow going to be all right in your life. A joy to face the circumstances that you're going through. When I was electrocuted in 77, I spent a couple of months in the hospital before when they did the amputation, and just being there in the hospital, as I've shared my story with you before, leading up to that time in my life was just in turmoil. Because I worked a minimum wage job, and I've got a 2-year-old son, and Becky is at home and 5 months pregnant with our second child. And there's not enough money coming in to take care of the needs that we have as a family. And all of you guys in particular, I'm sure can relate to this, that you feel like it's your responsibility to take care of your home and family. And when money's not coming in to do that, you just feel like a failure. That's just a guy thing. But it's the way we're wired. And that's just the way things are, you know. And up to the time that I was electrocuted, I'm feeling the turmoil, the anxiety, the stress, the pressure to figure this thing out. What are we going to do to make it? And then being electrocuted and winding up in the hospital for 2 months, and then for the next 2.5 years, having multiple surgeries to try to reconstruct what was left of me. And all through that time, knowing with absolute certainty everything was going to be all right. Even the day they came in and said they're going to have to amputate my hand. And knowing and just having the joy of the Lord, we were warned about, you know, the depression and all of these things that often accompany the traumatic situation that we were in as a family. But because of God's presence in our life and the joy that He surrounded us with, we never experienced any of that. I just knew that God was there. And God was going to take care of us and everything was going to be all right. I'm telling you, brother and sister, God wants to reveal Himself to us. He wants to show Himself strong in our lives. And if we'll love Him, if we'll surrender to Him, if we'll pursue Him, He'll show Himself in our life and meet our every need. Real quick, I need to finish this morning. The last thing just for today and next week, I've got a special topic to take up with you, and I really hope you'll be back next week as we talk at least one more time about authentic Christianity. But for the last thing today, let me just share with you that real authentic Christianity loves God and lives for the glory of God. And because it does, please hear this, it loves people and lives to serve other people. Regardless of their culture, regardless of their age, regardless of their nationality or their race, regardless of their physical standing or situation. Doesn't matter. Nothing matters. Nothing matters. When you love God, God loves you. You learn to love people with God's love. They asked Jesus one day, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus answered this way. He actually put two commandments together as one. Jesus said, the greatest commandment is this. Hear, O Israel. The Lord your God, the Lord, He is one. And you're to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and being. And then Jesus said, and the second is like unto it. And you're to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Listen, brother and sister, authentic Christianity loves everybody all the time. Look at this scripture in 2 Corinthians real quickly with me. This is the Apostle Paul's take on it. Second Corinthians chapter 5. Now, just to help give a little bring a little bit of understanding to the text before we even read it. Paul, of course, is a Jew, and the Corinthians are, for the most part, Gentiles. And in Paul's day and in Jesus' day, Jews and Gentiles did not associate. Racism, brother and sister, goes back a long, long way, okay? Jews and Gentiles hated each other, and they didn't associate, and they didn't get along. But here's Paul, a Jew, and God has saved him through faith in Jesus Christ. And when Paul gets saved, he begins to see the world completely differently than ever before. All of a sudden, there is no Jew and Gentile. There's just people. Just people. And look at what he says here in verse 14, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He says, for the love of Christ controls us. He says, the love of Christ is my motivation. The love of Christ is controlling me. It compels me. I'm living out of the love of Jesus Christ. For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, that's Jesus, and therefore in Jesus all have died. And Jesus died for all so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for Him, for Jesus, who died and rose again on their behalf. Now look at verse 16. I love this verse of scripture. Paul says, therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Paul says, we don't look at people after the flesh anymore. We don't consider who they are after the flesh anymore. We don't consider whether they're Jew or Gentile, male or female, rich or poor, sick or well. We don't consider anything about the flesh. He says we consider them from one perspective and one perspective only, and that's this. We choose to look at humanity by the Spirit of the living God and walk in love with everybody. From Paul's perspective, listen to this. From Paul's perspective, there were only two kinds of people in the world. Those that knew Jesus and those that needed to know Jesus. Brother and sister, that's all there are today. There are those that know Jesus, and there are those that need to know Jesus. And it's the responsibility of us who know Jesus to share Jesus with those that don't know Him. Brother and sister, that is authentic Christianity. Father, we pray that You can help us to see the world through Your eyes. Not as flesh and blood, not as black or white, male or female, rich or poor, not as Democrat or Republican, but people. People who either know the Lord or need to know the Lord. And help us, Father, to live a real and genuine, authentic brand of Christianity that shows the world the real Jesus. Help us, Father, to love one another. Help us to love those that are outside of our circle. Help us, Father, to even love our enemies. To be willing to pray for them, to serve them, and to share Jesus with them, that the world may know that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Would you take a few moments to consider your heart and to consider your ways this morning? As we bring our time together to a close today, would you ask the Lord to show you your heart today? Maybe there are those in your life with whom you have harbored bitterness, anger, resentment. Somebody has hurt you, somebody has offended you. Maybe, God forbid, and this is human nature, guys. This is just plain old human nature. Maybe there's somebody you don't like just because they're different from you. They don't live the same way you do. The color of their skin's different than yours. Whatever it might be. Ask the Lord to show you your heart this morning. Ask the Lord to show you, are you really living an authentic Christian life? Have you surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? Because you know He can do better with your life than you can. Do you love God so much that you pursue the Lord and desire to spend time in His presence continually? Because you know it's the place of protection and provision and love and security and peace and joy. Are you living the kind of life where God shows Himself strong to you and you have encounters with God? Because He loves you and you love Him. Do you love people the way God loves them? Do you see people as God sees them? Two kinds of people in the world today, those that know Jesus, and those that need to know Jesus. That's all there are. God, would you give us a heart of love for the lost? Would you help us to see them through your eyes and love them the way that you love them? So much so that we're willing to lay down our lives for their sake so that they can know Jesus. Thank you, God, for helping us by your Holy Spirit. Surely we cannot do it on our own, but by your Spirit we can. And we thank you for helping us by your Holy Spirit to live an authentic Christianity. Let's stand together. I sense in my heart this morning that for somebody here this morning, that this is your day. This is your time. This is your opportunity. And the Bible says that when the opportunity comes, don't harden your heart against it, but embrace it. and surrender your life to the Lord. If you're here this morning and you've never really surrendered your life to the Lord, really given it to Jesus and asked Him to take complete control of your life, you can open your heart right now and receive the Lord. I just want to ask you if you would raise your hand this morning and allow me to pray with you. Just right where you are, let me pray with you today for that surrender, for that appointment with God. Amen. Amen. God bless you. I see those hands. God bless you. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. And you know, the truth of the matter is, a lot of us, and I can tell you that it's true in my own life, a lot of times we have false starts in life. And a lot of times we start down the path, but then we stumble along the way. And we get off course and we need to get back on track with God again. And maybe that's you here today. Maybe your life hasn't been on course the way that you know it should be to really be living an authentic Christianity for the world to see Jesus in you. Can I include you this morning in our prayer as we close our service this morning? And would you just by raising your hand, would you say, Ken, just pray for me to get back on track with God. Anybody this morning, allow me to pray with you that way? Amen. 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 Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Amen. Father, I thank you so much for the dear and precious people you brought to Victory Christian Fellowship today. Father, I know the love that you have for these people exceeds anything that our wildest imagination has ever thought or dreamed of. And Father, you love each one of us desperately. So much so, God, you sent your Son to die for our sins so that we could be forgiven and become children of God. I pray for these, particularly this morning, Father, that have raised their hands to surrender their lives to Jesus. And to get back on the road of walking under the Lordship of Jesus Christ and pursuing God with all their heart. I thank you, Father, and pray even now that you would anoint them with the Holy Spirit of God, that the Spirit of the living God would fall fresh on them and fill their hearts and their lives and save their souls and begin to transform their lives from within. I thank you, Father, for the work that you're doing in each of us and making us new creatures in Christ. For the continual process that you promise in the Word, you will finish and complete at the day of Christ. Lord, help us to live for you each and every day, to recognize the call on our life is to glorify Jesus in all that we say and do, to live for the glory of the Son of God. Help us, Father, in the power of your Holy Spirit, to live authentic Christianity. Thank you for the word of encouragement we've received here today, Father, for the inspiration that you have given to motivate us to get right and to move right and to do the things that are right and glorify you. Father, we just sense excitement today of the presence of the Lord in our lives and believe in a great destiny that is ours as children of God and that great things will be accomplished, not just in us, and thank God for that, but through us for the glory of the kingdom of God. Thank you, Father. Thank you that today, for all of us, is a new day to start and live our life for you. So, Father, as we go away from here today, Lord, we thank you for the energy, the spiritual refreshing and renewal that we've received here today. And we thank you, Lord, for leading, guiding, directing our lives. I pray for each one of my precious friends here today for the blessing of peace, the blessing of joy, the blessing of the sense of assurance that all is right and all will be right, for comfort, for provision, for every need met, for wisdom and direction. Bless your children with these things. For your glory we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's sing together as we're dismissed today. In your presence, there is peace. In your presence, in your presence, there is joy. I will linger, I will stay in your presence day by day, till your likeness may be seen in me. One last word on your way out today. If you made a decision for the Lord this morning, share it with somebody else. Tell people, I've decided to follow Jesus. Thank you for being with us today, and have a great day in the Lord.